Today on Real Life Radio.
We're not going to a movie. We're not going to a play. We're not going to an Angel game. We're not going to a Dodger game. We are going to church. It is a divine thing. A lot of people today don't want to make it a divine thing, and that's their loss. It is a big deal.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. The cross. For a lot of us, it's just a symbol that we wear around our necks, right? Display in our homes or maybe hang from the rearview mirror. But what if instead of being a decoration or accessory, the cross motivated and shaped the way we live every single day of our lives? What if it wasn't about hiding or minimizing our sin, but actually crucifying it in order to move forward in the freedom that Christ offers? Born Crucified, it's a book by Ellie Maxwell. In this book, you'll discover what it truly means to live in a cross-centered life. This short but very powerful book is a classic for every Christian's library. It reminds us that the cross isn't just a symbol. It's the key to victory over sin and the power to serve God effectively. Now, if you're ready to experience the freedom and purpose found in a life centered on the cross, this book is one that you should get, Born Crucified. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his new series called The Parables of Jesus with his message titled Parable of the Sower, Part 2. Whenever Jesus spoke to the masses, he often spoke in parables. Now, this is the first parable that Jesus taught, a biblical truth that requires a response in the minds and the hearts of the people. You see, with the parable of the sower, Jesus is asking us to examine our own hearts to see if we truly believe that he is the Christ and that we have received him as our own personal Savior. And today, Pastor Jack teaches us that Jesus used parables so that he could share his gospel mission through a common story. Jesus, as the sower, is throwing the seeds, which is the Word of God, hoping that it lands on good soil, the good soil of our hearts. Now, with his message called Parable of the Sower, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Father, tonight we just pray that as you have already in our worship have made yourself evident and obvious that you, as you have said, you inhabit the praises of your people. And so, Lord, tonight we pray that you would continue in our worship in the Word of God. As we apply ourselves as students of the Bible, Lord, that we would come out of this tonight really different people, especially because of the series on the parables. What a serious and an amazing form and style of teaching you gave, and how we cannot hide. I mean, it just absolutely exposes us for the good or for the bad. And so, Lord, I pray that for all of us tonight, within the hearing of this, that our lives and our hearts would be right before you. And even if tonight some need salvation tonight, that their heart would be in the right place, not rejecting you, but accepting you. So, Father, we pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Matthew 13. That's where we started out last week together in the series on the parables. And tonight we're looking at the parable of the sower. We're picking up where we left off. And if you're turning there in your Bibles, Matthew 13, this is, as we said, the chief of parables. Jesus said to the disciples, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all the other ones? Because this one's so critical. It's fundamental. And it's literally awesome to think that what Jesus teaches us here, as I look across the sanctuary, it literally affects every one of our lives. It is a truth at work in every one of our lives. Tonight, you could say, well, I came here tonight with a friend. They bought me dinner and I came. I don't believe in God. Doesn't matter if you believe in God. What Jesus taught is actually happening in your life. And he makes it clear in this parable that we're about to finish tonight, because you are either understanding the things of God and being drawn closer to God, maybe it's ever so small, maybe it's so ever so little, but you are interested in the things of God. That is the work of God in your life. And it will grow from there. Or you may be here tonight saying, I don't want anything to do with God. listen, the parable teaching of Jesus or parabolic teaching, by you rejecting, is also proof of his truth. It is amazing how serious and wonderful all this really is. Matthew 13, follow along with me in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. And there he says, behold, a sower went out to sow. And you can see the man casting seed in a field from a pouch. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. That's where we'll be predominantly tonight. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Verse 9 is the challenge. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so this is a very, very serious push. And remember now, the setting is this. Jesus is on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And when we go there this March or April, I forget when we're going as a church, we'll go right up there. In fact, the mountain that is at that north end has been well identified. And that region of where Jesus taught, the crowds were so huge. Some historians write, Josephus talks about how Jesus spoke in crowds where there were up to 60 to 100,000 people. Now, how do you do that? How do you speak to somebody like the size of the Rose Bowl? Imagine Jesus would have been at the middle of the 50-yard line at the Rose Bowl and speaking to people. And, you know, what in the world's going on? You know, scholars say two things. Number one, they say, as it says, Jesus got into Peter's boat and pushed out from the shore and began to speak to the people. And it is true that the sound waves hitting water, sound waves, or water repels sound waves a lot from the surface. And so it kind of acted like a little amphitheater. And plus, it is true, the slope goes drastically up. So you could have easily had 100,000 people seated, and you could have had this going on. Or Jesus being God just talked like I'm talking right now without a microphone, and everybody could hear. Because he's God. He can do that kind of stuff. He didn't even need the boat. He could have just been floating on his sandals out there and having a great time. And so Jesus is speaking. Wouldn't you love to have been there? I'd love Spielberg to do something like that. I'd love to see that. And so as he spoke this king of all parables. And so in our last time together last week, we looked regarding the parable of the sower. And we looked, number one, at the mission. And that was found in verses 1-3, that Jesus makes it very clear that on the same day as he sat there by the sea that he spoke, and verse 3 says, as we read a moment ago, that behold, a sower went out. He's using that very common, customary thinking. Everybody knew what a sower was, and everybody knew that a sower throws out seed into a field as liberal and as generous as possible, because the sower, the farmer, wants a great crop. And Jesus is liking the gospel going out to the world as a sower sowing seed, throwing out the seed, which is in the parable, Jesus tells us the word of God, and those who are hearing are like the soils that are around, how your heart is. And your heart is either allowed by you or by me to take certain directions based upon how we deal with things in life. Some people, isn't it remarkable? Some people have very, very difficult hardships in life, and they are horrifically hard people, bitter, angry people. And then there's some people that have very difficult, hard things in life happen to them, and they're very tender and soft and generous people. How does that happen? It all depends on how the situation, you allow the situation, I should say, to shape your life. This is critical and a very, very powerful thing. The point is that Jesus is telling us that it's God's desire that the word of God go out and land in every heart, and that a decision be made, And we made mention last week that God will never grab you by the arm and force you into his family. He'll never force you into the kingdom of heaven. That would be wrong. That's not real. And so he lays out the invitation. And you tonight, you and I will be always, in fact, I think we always are being tested. Are we willing to receive what God is saying to us? And we always want to pray, God, make my heart tender and soft. And that's very important. And so we saw that the mission was the giving forth of the gospel. And Jesus says, it is that sower who goes out to seed. And I pray for you guys. I've been praying for you guys before this series started that all of us as Christians would be very serious about being sowers of the word, to take it out there by whatever means. You don't have to hold a crusade. You don't have to be a pastor of a church. All you have to do is be the wife of an unsaved man or the husband of an unsaved wife. Or maybe you've got kids who don't know Jesus and you love them. And so you want them into the kingdom with you. You want to have that. And so there's that mission. And then secondly, we saw the placement of verse 4. We saw the placement. The parable of the sower showed us the first illustrative warning was found in verse 4. He says, and some of the seed that was sown fell by the wayside. Remember, that was a hard, compact area that was off the beautiful tilled soil and into that area where people had walked and trampled. The ground is hard. It's very, very hard. And the seed landed, and Jesus said the birds came and devoured up the seed. It never had a chance to grab hold. And we saw in Matthew 13, 18, Jesus said, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, look at verses 18 and 19 of this chapter, and does not understand it. I don't get it. It's not God withholding the truth from them. Note this. Their heart is in a place where they're not willing to receive the seed or the word of God. Jesus said, if they hear the word, but they don't understand it, this is what happens. The wicked one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. So two things are going on for this one sorry victim of not accepting Christ. They don't want to. Their heart is hardened. And Satan takes advantage of their rejecting heart. And he comes and takes away the seed. They'll hear a Bible verse or a Bible study. They might, you know, who knows what. The other day, Lisa and I were shopping. Yeah, I had a day off. And what'd I do? I went antique shopping with my wife because that's the kind of guy I am. No, it's... And in the store, there was a plaque and it said, Proverbs 30, I forget what it was, but it was this verse. And here you are in a sewer, walking by, antiques are for sale, and there's a Bible verse. Delight your, Psalms 37, 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give unto thee the desires of your heart. Amen. Wow, where was that? In an antique store in the city of Orange. Bible, right there. And you walk by, and I walked by, and I went, that's cool. In fact, I took a picture of it. Instagrammed the thing off, and... But who knows, people walk by. You know what? That should be taken down. That's offensive. Who are these people? That's offensive. The guy kicks a field goal. Somebody holds up a John 3:16 sign between the uprights. That's offensive. Arrest them. Get that guy out of the stadium. How can that be offensive? It's very offensive. If your heart is hard, it's very offensive. You don't want that. Can't handle it. The most tolerant people become so intolerant. How does that happen? Because of the heart. We need to remember that.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The placement of the Word of God is all important. And the third thing, and this is where we pick it up tonight, look in your Bible, verses 5 and 6, is the reception of the Word of God. We want to be careful when we hear the Bible that our hearts are serious about it. Now, look, we had a great time of worship and, hands raised, and we're having a great time, and we should have a great time coming together with God and among God's people and be reminded of our great and awesome God. And That's fantastic, and it should be that way. But understand this, that before we ever come here, we need to be saying, Lord, make my heart receptive to what I'm about to partake of, you know? We're not going to a movie. We're not going to a play. We're not going to an Angel game. We're not going to a Dodger game. We are going to church. It is a divine thing. A lot of people today don't want to make it a divine thing, and that's their loss. It is a big deal. The Lord said that wherever two or more of you are gathered together, I'm in the midst of you. And that, if you look at that in the context, it's actually regarding a judicial decision within a church. Look at it carefully, Matthew 18. Why do I say that? Because I believe, according to my Bible, if, as the Bible says, the Holy Spirit lives in the life of every true believer, wherever I go, there he is. In fact, he's there before I get there, and he's with me as I'm going. Why? Because he's God, he's everywhere. So when you come to church, for example, be preparing your heart. Lord, we're going, in fact, the Psalms of Ascent, we're going to go up to the mountain of the Lord, David would write, and we're going to sing praises to our God. You need to be thinking about the reception. When you crack open the Bible, or when you go to a Bible study, even when you put in a CD or listen to something online, or you listen to the radio, Lord, prepare my heart. This is very important. Because we are not learning more, for example, of about, you know, a program or software or about a new system. We are learning about God himself in the Bible, and that carries with it profound responsibility. Very seriously, the reception. In Matthew 13:5, Jesus said, now some seed fell on stony places, rocky places, where they did not have much earth. Notice they had some earth, but not much. Just a little thin layer of dirt, which is very common. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Listen, the seed germinated, in fact, faster than normal. Number one, the soil is warm. It's on the rock. And the water that hits it keeps the soil, listen, wet. It doesn't go anywhere. So watch, you've got a rock or you've got a rocky area and you've got a thin layer, maybe 2-3 inches of dirt on these rocks, and the seed falls. And all of a sudden, wow, look, the farmer might look and say, man, this is gonna be an amazing crop. Look how fast this is springing up. It's so green, it's so quick. The nutrients are there. It's true. The nutrients are all there. The water's there. The soil is there. The sun is there. And it explodes upward in life. But he comes back around 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's all lopped over. It's all wilted. And Jesus said there are those who come to church or they think about Christian things. They got a Bible. They might read about it. They start reading. They get excited about it. They make an outward decision for Jesus, and they shoot like a skyrocket. We talked about that last week, and they're just super duper Christians. Man, look at that guy. That guy's led 5 people to Christ this week. He's only been a Christian for 2 weeks. And then you see the guy a month later or a year later, and he's completely away from the faith. What happened? There was no depth in his growth. There was no, and we looked at it last time, we don't need to get much into it. There had been no winds to blow, bringing trials, as it were, difficulties. You always want to be around Christians who have gone through the seasons of faith. Believe me. I love being around new believers. They're so excited. It's just wonderful. But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the nursery. You can only handle it for a little bit, and then you got to go take a walk. It's cute and fun, but as life happens and as life goes on, listen, I want to encourage you, with difficulty, don't cave in. And I mean, you name it, just young people growing up. That's tough. I'm so glad I'm not young in this world right now. This world's too hard. It's insane. Look, when I was a kid, we used to take tin cans and run a string and I would talk to my neighbor friend about 100 feet away through the can. Hey, man, what are you doing? Nowadays, your kid's talking to some nut in Moscow somewhere on his cell phone. You don't know what's going on. And look at all the stuff that's happening about that kind of stuff. You don't know what's going on. Exposed to so much. Man, it's hard enough just being a kid. And then your hormones start going nuts at some age. That's another whole thing. All these things. Listen, man, I tell you what, parents, we need to parent our kids like never before.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Parable of the Sower, Part 2. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus Christ while he was ministering right here on earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Something amazing has been going on as part of this mm-hmm. ministry. And that is our Happening Now series. I mean, you look at that series online and there's been millions of views.
Yeah.
Jump into that for me, would you?
Yeah. It was actually started, I saw all of the rhetoric going on some time ago, some years ago, where if you remember most recently, Jesus would be back on this date.
Yeah.
And this is what's going on regarding Bible prophecy and the other thing. So there's a lot of people panicking. The end of the world is, you know, on such and such a date. The Mayan calendar says so. All of this kind of stuff. So what the Lord put upon my heart to do was to debunk all that stuff and to bring truth, biblical worldview truth, into the momentary dynamic of life. So it has kept true to that vision, but it has been expanding. God has seen fit to expand it. So we've had many, many Happening Now guests, from Ben Shapiro to Dennis Prager to so many others, including Amir Serfate and Don Stewart and biblical scholars. It's been amazing. But it has also allowed us to have a good friend of ours, personal good friend of mine for years, and that is the wonderful young man, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
So Charlie Kirk, he's probably been with us more Happening Now than anybody else, but Charlie Kirk is going to be coming back to be with us in March, March 26th. It's a Wednesday night. 90 minutes of live, unscripted dialogue in the main sanctuary here at the church that I pastor in Southern California. And there's nothing like it. You've got to experience it. Yes, it'll be broadcast on the Real Life Network.
Right.
By the way, everybody should get that app. Just by going to the App Store, download it. It's free. And you'll be able to have the Real Life Network with you 24/7, 365. And on that network, it will be broadcast live. And it will also be streaming from the church, but it's going to be epic. And, you know, right now, by the way, ever since about 2 weeks before the election, Charlie has been side by side with Trump, and he's been there in Mar-a-Lago, had to move into Mar-a-Lago for a good while, and now up into D.C. There's so much happening. So Charlie's a good friend. We've done a lot of great stuff together. Of course, he's the founder and president of Turning Point USA. I think what's going to shock a lot of people, we're going to look at the book of Chronicles, specifically the man of Josiah's life, and how Josiah's life parallels the moments that we're living right now in America. Mm. Is it possible that God is doing something in the United States, quite shockingly, even in the realm of what we would call politics? God put a non-politician back into the realm of politics yet for a second time.
Yeah.
Quite amazing.
I pay attention to Charlie Kirk online, and some of the stuff that comes out of his mouth. How does a person put that much into his brain?
Well, first of all, Charlie will not be offended if I say this. He's a freak.
Yeah, gotta be.
Charlie is too smart. His brain. I'm convinced that there's a cloud of his own that follows him somewhere where the downloads happen. Charlie's so quick, so fast, and never more entertaining and thrilling than to watch Charlie Kirk on any university campus here throughout the U.S., where Charlie will set up a table and a microphone, and he'll encourage people to come and debate him. And Charlie he always defeats them with part of his brain tied behind his back. He'll still win.
And he doesn't demean the people that he's
wonderful.
Talking to.
He's spirit-filled.
You know?
And Charlie loves the Lord. I'm telling you right now, him and Erica, Christian home, Christian life, spirit-filled family, loving the Lord.
I'm jealous of him, though. The fact that he was in the jump seat on Air Force One, are you kidding me?
Charlie probably gets to go places that we're not allowed to talk about.
So it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of good luck getting a seat if you come to the sanctuary for a Happening Now event.
I got to be honest with you guys. If you come, you're going to find this out anyway. On a Happening Now night, people start showing up, standing in line at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Remember when there were 20 people in line for these? I mean, it wasn't that small, but...
No, I don't. Never remember that. It's never been... It's not uncommon for us to have 5,000 people here at a Happening Now.
That's Happening Now with special guest Charlie Kirk. Wednesday night, March 26th, 7 p.m. That's Pacific time. If you can't come in person, join us online. For more info, go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.